Do you remember your older relatives ever talking about black women who had relationships with white men?
No, I don't.
Okay, or anything about any kind of relationship?
No.
Or how your relatives felt about these relationships?
Well, they didn't think anything about it that I know about it. At least they didn't talk about it, if they did.
When you were growing up, did black people treat mulattoes any differently from other blacks?
Not that I... In fact, they seemed to have more respect for ones that were blacker.
They seemed to respect the ones who were blacker more?
That's right, I guess. I don't know. I never see any difference.
They didn't treat those who were fairer skinned better?
No, not that I know.
Not that you know of. No. Were you ever aware of people who passed for white and what happened to them?
Well, I hate to tell you this, but I know he was straight white.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was white, his father was white. This girl had this baby out of wedlock. And she was from a respectful family and everything, so she gave this baby to a black mother.
Oh.
And the mother raised this child as her child, let it be her, carried her name and everything, let it be her child.
Huh.
So when this boy grew up, he was white on both sides. And other boys teased and said, called his name, said, if I were you, I would just go and go off somewhere where nobody don't know you, go into the white race. He looked at him, she said, well, if I could go off and pass for a rich white man, I would. But since I'm poor, I'd rather be a nigger than to be a poor white man. That's the way she fixed it.
And this is someone you knew?
I know it exactly. And he married a black girl.
He did?
Yes, and they had children. Because, you know, they were mixed and everything, but they were...
Was that right here in West
Right Houston? Here, right down the hill. Yeah,
right down the hill.
That's right.
My goodness, when you were young.
That's right.
Is he about your age now? Has he passed away?
Is he still? He's dead now.
He has since then.
That's right, but his children still are right.
Children. And he was actually adopted
by
a black boy.
That's right. He was actually white
on
both sides.
That's wrong.
And the mother didn't want that stigma on them, you know, whatnot. So she gave the baby as soon as it was born to this black mother. She kept it.
Can you tell me the name of the family?
Well, I'd rather not tell it because they're still here.
They're still here. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that.
That's right.
How about Indians? How were Indians treated, or people with Indian blood, or did you know any?
Well, my grandmother, my mother's stepmother, they had a lot of Indian in it because they had long old braids hanging down. She had a brother. He was a brown. Now, he had a lot of Indian in him on my mother's stepmother's side.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't bring us in, but we had, you know, affiliations with them.
And you were saying your husband's family had a little more white blood than yours.
Yeah, they had a lot of white blood. They had more white than my family.
And where was your husband's family from? From
right here in Westminster. That's right. And some of the white people that mixed in with them are right here, too.
Right here
right here in the area, and they know it.
Uh-huh.
And they realize nothing they can do about it, and nothing this other side can do about it, but they...
Were his grandparents slaves, then, of someone in this area?
Well, if I could show you his picture, excuse me.
Oh, that's all right. Sure, I can stop.
One of my husband's brothers.
This is one of your husband's brothers?
Yeah. I mean, no, he...
And he looked very white.
Black.
That's what you were
That's
saying,
right.
that
That's
his
right.
family looked very
now,
white.
Now, his father was whiter than that because this is the son. And you know what? This is the son about how the father... Now, I have an old book somewhere where this girl that I was talking about, she was, you know, this. Now, she was trying to get up, trying to dig the family...
History.
And when she got into that...
Wait.
Yeah. White on my husband's side than on mine. Mine had more Indian mixed in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had Indian in your...
Well, in my family, when I see this woman got this high cheeks.
Uh-huh.
And see, she had this long hair.
This is the grandmother's picture you were showing me before.
This is my father's mother.
This is the Gideon
side. And so on that side, you see, there was more Indian-like mixed up. Because by the time my father and all that came along, most of the Indians were driven out from here.
Right.
Because you see, they were all around Cherokee and back up in that way. And they forced the Indians back into the mountains and whatnot. And they didn't have as much access to, you know, mix with people as the white people did. They was just mostly two races, here, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very close. I don't know why, because when slavery was abolished, my parents said, I didn't know about this, but they said some of the Negroes did not want to be, they wanted to be free, but right. they couldn't afford to leave their surroundings because they couldn't trust themselves to make it on their own. And that's why people, white people, took a lot of, maybe they thought they weren't taking advantage of them, but they, in
but
a way,
they did.
Yes.
And you were telling me about this relative of your husband's who was doing a family history?
Yes.
Tell me about that,
about what she said.
Well, just what she said.
Well, she was trying to do this family history. She kept digging on both sides, but not both sides, of hers was real mixed up because her mother was never married. Her mother's mother was never married, but she had children. And most of them children was white. Well, now you don't dig up to see who the father and thing like that was. So she was trying to trace her roots. And when she got back so far that she could go, I said, well, now don't you go too much further because you might bump into something you'd rather not see. And when she did, she held her both hands and hollered and went to crying, real crying tears. Oh, my God, the last one of us. Heaven bastards. And I said, please don't say that because you didn't have anything to do with it. You cannot help how you come into this world. And remember, there is a God somewhere. That's all I could tell.
And how was she related to your husband?
She was my husband's, not this one.
I mean, how is the woman that told us that was
his nephew, his niece.
This was his niece that
said
that.
His brother's daughter.
Okay. All right.
His real brother's daughter.
I see. So those were the feelings that she had.
That's right, yes. I had them type feelings too, but it didn't bother me because I had enough black in my family to kind of erase some of that. See, my children are not all that white.
Right. Do you often... Does that embarrass you more to be white?
Indeed,
would you rather be black than white?
It doesn't make me any difference just so I'm here.
Right, right, okay.
Oh, no, you know, I'd rather not be white if I'm going to be white. I'd rather be white if I'm going to be black. I'd rather be black.
You would rather be one thing than as
well,
mixed as you are, you feel?
Well, it would suit me. I would feel better because it doesn't make me any difference because
right.
I don't have that much white in me.
Well, whatever you are, you're a good person, right? When you were young, this is getting off subject of that, but when you were young, how often did you go to Greenville or Anderson? Do you remember?
We would go to Anderson quite often. We didn't go to Greenville too much
mm-hmm.
because we had to travel in horse and buggies and we didn't have any relatives. So any special reason to go? But we did go to Greenville and Anderson.
Was there any reason for these trips? I mean, why did you go?
Well, we went to Anderson most of the time for the fair. It had a kind of fairs there.
The fair?
Yes, we would go to Anderson to the fair. And if we wanted to go to a larger place to buy something, we had to go
to Anderson.
Greenville and Anderson.
When you went to the county fair, did you all... put things in it, or they just...
Well, we didn't have too much in Anderson there because they had county fairs. Mm-hmm. The fair was mostly centered around the produce and things to raise, but we went mostly for the circus part of it because we were children.
For the entertainment. That's what you went
for. The entertainment part.
Do you remember anything about the entertainment you can tell
us
about?
Well, we would ride on. I was always afraid to ride on all of these rides and things, so I didn't do too much riding on that. My sisters and especially brothers, they would ride on and there we go round and go round and things like that. But I was always afraid to get on those things, and I didn't do too much of it.
What else did you do at the fair?
Well, we bought cotton candy like they have now, and going around to see the odd things. I remember one person, they fooled us all, said this girl just had a head, she didn't have anything else. And I know she was standing down in some type of a box or something. Anyway, she was standing there, and she didn't have anything but a head, didn't have any shoulders or anything. And we thought that was fascinating. And fortune tellers and different things. And I, but Daddy wouldn't ever let us go into a fortune teller place. But sometimes the brothers would slip in there, a fortune teller told me so and so and whatnot like that. But anyway, we had fun.
Sound like you had a good time.
Yes.
What opportunities for black people were available, say, in Anderson or Greenville that you couldn't get here in Seneca?
Well, they had better educational opportunities, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they had doctors, black dentists, things that we didn't have in our front cabin.
They had more of those kinds of facilities, yes. And even some shopping that you didn't
have. Plenty of shopping things that we didn't have.
What kind of celebrations do you remember that were held? Did you have any celebrations or parades or holidays that were important things?
Well, my mother used to talk about going to celebrations where they would all dance and do all kinds of things like that, but we didn't get to go to that. Uncle Peter Jones used to have what he called corn shuckers. Now, we didn't get to go to
this
that.
This was in your mother's time?
This was in my time.
Oh, it wasn't in your time, but didn't go.
But I didn't get to go.
Oh, you didn't, I see. She, yes. Just the grown-ups.
That's just the grown-ups. He'd get a great big pile of corn, pull the corn off in the shuck, and they would have corn shuckings one night. They would cook all kinds of cakes and pies and rabbits and squirrels and all kinds of things. And these men would go there and shuck all of this corn, put the shucks over on one side and throw the corn in the crib. When they would get through shucking that, then one would be picking a banjo, picking some kind of music or something, and all of them women and men, they say, would get out there and dance and do things like that. Now, I didn't get to go to it because my parents didn't allow us to do that. But anyway, that was some of the
fun
social
things,
fun things that they did, I guess. But not all the things that I did get to go to was they would have picnics down on the bikes. We liked that. They would go set up tables down in a big pasture on the side of a branch. We could walk in the branch.
Was it the Branch River?
It was a little stream of clear water, you know, real shallow, that you could walk in. You could see the bottom and see the little things rolling down. And they would have a big wide open space out there, and men would play baseball. They'd be out there playing ball, and they would have a table over there with it, so whoever was sponsoring the picnic.
Mm.
They would have all kinds of things to sell. We would be saved up a little money. They'd make a homemade ice cream and homemade lemonade and all things like that. They would have that on Saturdays, maybe 4th of July or something.
These were picnics at different times.
Yeah.
Probably mostly summertime, I'm sure.
Oh, in summertime.
Right.
Yes.
Were there any parades that you remember?
No, I don't remember any parades.
4th of July?
Well, they had 4th of July shooting firecrackers and Roman cannons. They would call it shooting off fireworks and things like that. We were standing around looking at it.
What about other holidays that were important? Did you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, yes, we had Christmas. We'd hang our stockings up, and we really thought there was a real Santa Claus here, because we'd have fireplaces. Mr. Rome Ellis, he was white. He would come up every Christmas Eve, and we would have our stockings hanging up. Santa Claus put something in his stocking. We would go to bed early, and to tease us, he would take our stockings down. So we said, Miss Dillon's taking our stockings down, so I'm going to take these stockings and carry them home with me. We wouldn't want to do that. And so, away after a while, after he would leave, we'd get up and hang our stockings up again. And then in our stockings, we would have maybe an apple and an orange and a stick of candy. And he was nice. He would bring things and give them to our mother and father to put in our stockings after he left. And we'd get up the next morning, and Santa Claus, he made some kind of little marks down the chimney in the fireplace. Oh, yes, Santa Claus, didn't you? Now, nobody couldn't tell us that there wasn't really a Santa Claus because we believed it from our heart.
And how old were you when you found out that there was?
I pretended I didn't know even after I got married so I could still get presents.
My daughter still does. Don't feel bad. She still gets things from Santa Claus. Did you celebrate, was there anything more about Christmas that you wanted me to tell me, like the church and that kind
Christmas,
of thing?
Yes, we would have Christmas, you know, plays and whatnot like that. And they taught us the meaning of Christmas, what Christmas was all about. Now, it's not your birthday, they would say, it's Jesus' birthday. So we would celebrate it with that spirit to know that it was Jesus' birthday instead of ours.
Right.
We would be good, real good, during Christmas.
Did you have, did you celebrate birthdays or anniversaries?
They would tell us when I, yes, we look forward to our birthdays. We would always give them something. We didn't have any birthday parties as such, but we recognized when each one's birthday would come around. Everybody would gather at home to have something nice for that person. It's your birthday, so you don't have to do anything. You don't have to wash dishes today because it's your birthday. Things like that.
Did you have a cake?
We'd have a birthday cake.
Did you have a birthday
cake? I remember my mother used to make a birthday cake, and she had these little pans with a hole in it. She'd set a little vase down in that, put a little flour in it. My brothers were very mischief. They'd go there and claw out a piece of his birthday cake. Maybe Mom would spike them, you know, be spiking, but they still hold them to that piece of cake when she got through whipping.
They got the whipping, but they ate the cake anyway. When you gave each other gifts, what kinds of gifts did family members give each other?
Well, usually stockings or socks or something that they could use.
Something on the practical
something
side.
Something on the practical side. But we had china dolls, and we enjoyed making our own dolls better than we would the pretty dolls that they buy. Because we had a pretty doll, and it wouldn't forget, I had a little doll named Geneva.
Geneva?
Geneva. Mm-hmm. And but she was white, had, you know, Santa hat and everything. We kept that doll, you know, just didn't play with it too much to, you know, like you enjoy it. We could just look at it a little bit.
Right.
And my sister's doll, she had one similar china doll like that. Hers was Leola. We would play with it without them and everything. But if we wanted to really enjoy a doll, my mama would make us rag dolls and we enjoyed them. Could change their clothes and throw them around and pick them up when we get ready and whatnot.
Spank
I don't know why it would make a difference in those dogs like that.
Well, you were more careful with Leola and Geneva
than
you were with the rag dog.
Right, that's right. Hmm. And we would play in the playhouse with the rag dogs and put them in the bed and tend to them and whatnot. But these others, you know, we knew they were ours. Dogs. But I think Santa Claus brought us these dogs.
And they were a little more special.
A little more special.
You mentioned...
I don't know what happened to them.
Oh, you don't have them anymore.
No, I don't have them.
You mentioned a playhouse. Did you have a playhouse outside?
Oh, yes, we had playhouses outside. Talking about white children and black children, we would play in the playhouse. My sister would be the mama And Grady Ellis, who was white, would be the daddy. Now, but now we weren't doing any family things like that. We just quit doing more whipping the children than anything else, making them be nice. We played in the playhouse.
You told me, you mentioned the other day, after we finished the interview, you told about when you used to play outside and play by yourself and how you committed things to memory. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Right. Well, we would skip around and anything that we could see, if a grasshopper stuck hopping across the yard, we could make up a little rhyme about this grasshopper. We didn't make up little rhymes about flowers. We'd say, we had a beautiful, my mother liked flowers, so she had a great big red, big rose bush, and it was red, and we would get to this rose bush and say, good morning, pretty rose bush, I pray you tell me true. To be as sweet as a red, red rose, what must the body do? And the rose bush would say back to us, to be as sweet as a red, red rose, a little girl like you just grows and grows and grows, and that's what you must do. So we would make up little poems, anything we see, a little flower, little wildflowers growing along the bushes. We could make up little poems about things.
Tell me about your butterfly song.
Oh, yeah. Well, one that I don't remember too much about was the in the fall of the year about these yellow, flittered with yellow butterflies. The road would be, you know, would walk down the path. The path all flitters with yellow butterflies. But one I do remember, we say, when you see these little yellow dandelions, I think, we say, buttercups with shining faces smile upward as I pass. They seem to lighten all the places like sunshine in the grass. Neither glad nor gay was I, but when I came in view, I found that I was passing by, and I was smiling too. And little things like that, we just make up and look up at the moon and make up pretty songs. Oh, why are you shining, Mr. Moon? So and so and so, you know, just the moon. And mostly make little skipping songs.
Yeah, swing song.
How would you like to go up and swing up in the sky so blue? It seemed to do something all alone, whatever you must do and whatnot. We just swang in by these songs and you can make them up.
That's wonderful. Ms. Childers, we were looking at that Seneca Institute picture. Could you tell me about the uniforms? You told me something about a girl named Georgia Daniels.
Yes, Georgia Daniels was, she was a pretty girl. I think she was her parents' only child. Anyway, she was a student. And she could dress so pretty. She wore all kinds of pretty clothes. You know, once upon a time, I don't guess you remember when they used to have this, what you call candy soles. It was an underbody thing. And it had beautiful flowers, and it'd be all kind of different colors flowers. And then she would have a white georgette blouse she would wear over this, and you could see the flowers through that. She would wear all those pretty clothes to school and everything. She was pretty, too. So sometimes she would dress even nicer than the teachers. At that time, Mrs. Clark, she was the matron of the women. So she said, well, I just don't think it's exactly right for some of these girls can outdress these others. I think we'll get a code of dress for uniform. Now you girls must get, beginning, she gave us a deadline to do this, get everybody wear the same thing, everybody dress in uniform at the school. So you can wear what we call a midi blouse suit. We had pleated skirts. You could wear a blue pleated skirt and a white midi, which had little shoe-tash braid, and it had little emblems on the sleeve. We enjoyed that. In the wintertime, they would be blue serge, and they would hold the pleats and everything. And long in the spring of the year, the first part of the fall of the year, they could wear white midis, or any time that you wanted to, you could wear it. They call it white duck, very thick cloth. You could wash it and iron it, put a little thin starch in it and press it, and it'd have pretty pleats in it. We all dressed, and after that, we liked it fine. then you could wear a red tie or a blue tie under these collars. So after we got dressed and in uniform, we all liked it. We made it, everybody feel more the same person. Not one of us, the other one could outdress the other. That was the idea of dressing in uniform so everybody would be the same.
Right. Now, you said that some of the boys in the class...
Oh, yes. We didn't have... Sometimes if we didn't have a clean skirt or something, borrow another girl's skirt. And if Nan Brown would see me with her skirt, I don't know how in the world those boys did that, whether the girls slipped and told them or how they figured that. Instead of saying, "Good morning, Miss Gideon," they'd say, "Good morning, Miss Brown," because I'd have on her skirt. And I never did figure out how they did that. But anyway, that didn't stop us from changing skirts to borrowing, though.
Tell me about who's in this picture now, the one that I gave you.
Well, this first one is Lafayette Harlan. He's deceased now. He died this year. The next was Arla Harrison. She's Arla Cleveland. She's deceased. Next one is Charles Simpson. He was from Easley, South Carolina. Next one is Mary Jane Watson. She's Mrs. Fred now. She lives in Atlanta. She's married, but she doesn't have any children. Second row is Earl Grant. He's deceased now. The next one is Thelma Gideon Childress. The next one is Lewis Grove. Lewis could play the piano. He used to play the music. We would all do our dancing by Lewis's music. And the next one is Nan Brown. This is just half of the picture. I don't know where the others.
You were telling me something about why you didn't know why you were between Earl
and
Lewis.
I don't know why I'm sitting by Earl because.
What was wrong with Earl?
Tell us. I don't know. He was the class crowd.
Oh.
And I just couldn't endure that.
You couldn't endure sitting next to him?
Don't put this on the tape. One time he said, "Oh, you can't say anything in front of old Thelma Gideon because you can't stand to say bureau in front of her." Somebody say, "Why you can't say bureau in front of them? Of course it has drawers in it." And the things like that, I just, you know.
Tell me about Lulabell, who was visiting you last week. You told me she was the first black woman to do something special. What was that?
My sister Lulabell from Washington, D.C. She lived in Seneca and raised up with all of us. After my mother passed, she moved to Washington, D.C. But anyway, during the Depression years of the 1930s, during the 1930s, she was the first black home demonstration agent in Oakland County. During the Depression, people had to kind of live on what they could survive on, the things that they produced themselves. So President Franklin D. Roosevelt instigated a program of home demonstration agents in every county in the state. So she was selected or appointed in Oconee County. She went to South Carolina State College and learned how to use the steam pressure cooker and how to preserve things and how to can meat and whatnot. So she went around in the county and organized the first clubs, new homemakers clubs, they call them. So she taught the mothers how to can fruit and how to preserve different things that they might be able to survive on.
When you talked about your grandfather, Scott, and he was a slave until he was 12, you said his mother worked in the house. Was she a cook? Do you remember?
She was the cook. She was what they called a house.
She was the house cook.
House girl.
Okay. You also mentioned a person that made the coffin, and I didn't catch that. Was that a black man or?
Well, a black man made the coffins. He could make baskets for people to gather their produce in. And if someone died now, Shelton in Miller, was the undertakers in Westminster that they buried the white people.
Right.
But the black people had this man would make the casket, make a wooden. He had dressed lumber that he would make and had different kind of different cloth that he would put a lining padding in and make a little pillow. And on the outside he would put some type of plywood material or whatever people could afford. And they buried grown people in this homemade casket.
You remember his name?
His name was Jim Singleton.
Jim Singleton.
That's right.
Okay.
He was a, what they call a carpenter. They didn't call it a carpenter at that time. They called it woodwork and whatnot. But he could build houses and different things by special measurements.
Hmm.
Make it neat.
You also told me about your grandfather, Scott, owning a restaurant. Is this how he could afford, because he had quite a bit of property in that large house you were telling me about.
Did you just notice the house when you passed by?
Yes, I did.
Did you look out by it?
I didn't get a chance to pass it.
But you remember the old house
I was talking about,
had all of that shrubbery.
What I want to ask you is, how did he afford to have a house and property? Did he make such a good living from this restaurant?
Well, he didn't have all of it. I don't have any idea that he had any better advantages than anyone else. Uh-huh. But he just knew how to somehow save things. He saved a little bit of whatever he had.
I see.
And he accumulated a lot of property, and he would encourage other people to do the same thing. Some did, and some didn't.
I guess what I'm trying to find, what did he do besides own a restaurant? What other jobs did he have?
Well, he farmed.
He was a farmer.
That's right. He was a farmer. He owned his own.
It sounds like farm. He was a good manager.
He was. That's right. That's right. Just
because with this
manager.
Farm and this restaurant, he was able to acquire this property.
That's right. Yes.
Now, I interrupt.